Yes?
Your voice just sounded a little weird there. Yeah, you're a little nutty. It's okay.
That was really loud. Loud noises. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
I think I have more mic cords now, too.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
I don't know. You're all extra loud, too.
I think somebody's ears are just extra sensitive.
All right, there you go. A little caffeine. If you'd like to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, we got Tim Riley, more from the Ministry of Truth. I give it like a 1 in 3 that we'll get Peter Carlin today. Who's to say? Also, we'll talk briefly to Dick Dale, surf guitar legend later on. Guy who did the, everybody kind of in my generation knows him, was the guy who did the opening theme for Pulp Fiction. A song called Miserloo. But he kind of created a whole sound. And you know, I don't know a lot about him, but it's one of those things. That a guy who works next door to us kind of offered it to me. He's like, hey, do you want to talk to Dick Dale? And so I said, absolutely. So we'll talk to him for a couple minutes later on. It's 503-733-2970. All right. So I just got to say a couple things here. I did find here my wife, the lovely Lara. She located my notes because I made all these notes about the Rockstar Supernova taping, and I had then lost them. And so she found them and transcribed them. God bless her heart.
Oh, what a nice
show. Sent them. She really is fantastic. Sent them this year, and it's exactly as I wrote them. So some of these I may not even know what the hell I was talking about. They may not make any sense. So I went to see Rockstar Supernova being taped, and the deal is we got that around, they told us to be there at 4. And we had supposed so-called VIP passes. And I got to thank, by the way, Susan Reynolds, marketing guru for CBS Radio Portland, who brought that, you know, put that together for us. So we got there, and we were, again, when it comes to the Rockstar Supernova studio, you picture a place that's laid out exactly like the Roseland, except with no side balconies, like if those are just curtained off. That's what it looks like. It's that sort of a layout. Big stage, and then a big floor area, and then a balcony behind, you know, a balcony facing the stage. And that's about it. A lot of cameras, a lot of control panels and stuff taking up a lot of space. So it's actually probably less floor room than the Roseland. But about that size, and about that layout. Now, see, here's the thing that it was curious to me. If I was to ask you, Sarah, just somebody who watches Rockstar Supernova,
mm-hmm.
what would you say the physical layout of it is? In other words, where do you think the rockers are when they sit relative to the stage and relative to where Supernova themselves sits? If you're on the floor facing the stage, where do you think everybody is?
I thought they were right over on the left.
The
contestants.
Okay, and then where would you say that Supernova is?
Like right along here. Like here's the stage. Like right down the middle, and then they're on a separate platform, aren't they? Like on the other side of the room?
And apparently I'm the only one who didn't know this. See, I thought that they were all at the front of the room.
And like on opposite sides of the stage?
But they're not. The Supernova guys are way
at the
back.
Yeah, because they're on a different panel.
You look at the stage, and obviously the stage is the front of the room, and then off to, like if you're facing the stage, all the contestants are at about 10 o'clock. So they're off to your right. And then Supernova, though, is, like, behind you. If you are facing the stage, Supernova is at, like, I don't know, like, at your, like, if you were in the middle of the clock, as it were, mm-hmm. Supernova is, like, at 5 o'clock. They're, like, behind you and to the right, which I did not. But you know what it is? That's so they can kind of get in and out really quickly, so they don't have to, like, mingle with the hoi polloi.
With the common folk.
With the common folk. Unless you were Tommy Lee, by the way, who had every... Because I was totally wanted to get over and say hey to Jason Newsted. That was my thing. That was one of my goals, because because of all of those guys, I kind of have a lot... I have a lot of respect for him. And he seems to know the most about what he's talking about. And, you know, and he was the bass player for Metallica all the way through the era that sort of meant a lot to me. When I was a big Metallica fan, he was the bass player. And so he... You know, so he's a guy that I grew up sort of watching on stage, and I saw him on stage with Metallica 5 or 6 times. I saw him at the Kingdome, and, you know, so I kind of went over, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him because every time I would get close to him, it would just, at that moment, that a bunch of, like, still photographers would swarm in and sort of, like, block the way. The closest I got is that I kind of went, like, you know, Jason, you know, like, rock! And, like, did, like, it's the stupidest thing.
I know, it's always when you meet people you really want to that you say the dumbest things.
Well, because you realize, what could you say that they haven't heard like a billion times before? Mm-hmm. Like, what could you possibly... And so, I'm like, Jason, and he looks over and I'm all like, yeah! And it's like devil horns. And he just kind of gives him, he's like, yeah! And that was him. That was good enough for me. So I didn't get a chance to go like, I really feel that your observations on music. I didn't have that. I just went like, yeah!
Yeah, because you usually have something planned out. I remember what you were going to say to Alanis Morissette.
What was I going to say to
Something about how you thought she was the perfect choice to play God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know why I remember that. No, but you always pre-plan your celebrity encounters.
Well, have you... Now, let me ask you this, now that we're already getting off subject. Do you have things in your head that you have planned out for other celebrities should you meet them? Like, because you're a big Bob Dylan fan. What would you say if you met Bob Dylan? Like if he was here talking to the K-Hits people or Kink or whatever, and you... He was in. What if they said, Sarah, Bob Dylan's in the kitchen getting a bagel. Now he's going to leave.
Oh, God, I don't know.
But if you leave right now, you could probably see him as he's on the way out the door.
He's just disappointed me so much.
Would you go? Would you even go? If he was in the kitchen right now and
I'd probably just say a hi, hello. I don't know. After the whole Victoria's Secret commercial and just all this stuff, like, he isn't the same man that I fell in love with, you know, 10 years ago when I was listening to him a lot.
How about somebody else, though? What if it was like, I don't know, one of your.
Well, when I met Trevor Keith.
Crazy punk kids.
Yeah, when I met Trevor Keith from Face to Face, I told him that, the first album was one of my number one all-time favorites of all time. It was just something so dumb.
See?
And I got to interview him, and that was really fun.
And it's just, but do you ever, and...
I don't pre-plan it, though.
You don't want to say the same thing everybody else says, but then here's the thing. When you meet, you know, on a radio, you meet, you know, you get to meet some musicians and, you know, a certain number of celebrities and whatnot, and it's never anybody really, really cool. But it's always, you know, it's, you know, some, like, we met Mike Ness from Social Distortion.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually the one time I didn't F it up. I had it planned out to word for word. I rehearsed it.
I remember that was embarrassing.
It wasn't embarrassing. What do you mean it was embarrassing?
Because I know you, and I could tell that you had rehearsed it. Like, nobody else knows you.
He didn't know.
He couldn't tell. No, but I could. I could like hear the reel going in your head.
Would it have been less embarrassing? But I'm gonna write this. Oh my God! You know, would that have been better if I had just let it all just like ooze out of me? You know, just.
I think you did a really good job with Mike Ness.
I totally tried. You know, because you don't want him to. You don't want him to be like, yeah, whatever, kid. You know, it's just, you know.
He wasn't. He was so friendly.
He was very cool. My friend Todd. I may have mentioned this. My friend Todd has the great... His whole thing is just he wants to be remembered when he meets a musician or a rock star. And so he had this whole plan about he's a huge Steven Tyler fan. You would never know that to talk to him now because he's very much kind of a... I don't want to say hipster, but he's very much an Elvis Costello replacements kind of guy. Very much an intellectual rocker, a lot like Peter Carlin. But when he was a kid, it was all about Aerosmith. So he has a huge soft spot for Steven Tyler. Worship Steven Tyler, probably always will. And he had this whole thing about... wanting to set himself on fire in front of Steven Tyler. Like to douse one of his pant legs with and just blaze himself. Yeah, this whole thing about wanting to douse one of his pant legs with lighter fluid and just sort of, hey, Steven Tyler, look at me! You know, just because he's like, you know, for the rest of his life, Steven Tyler would go, hey, is that cat that set himself on fire? You know, and which he would totally remember.
What a boy thing.
So it is totally a boy thing. So I was just like, Jason Newsted, rock! And he, like, gave me the devil horns. He acknowledged that I existed. That was enough for me.
So in that second in time, you guys shared a moment.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
We shared a moment.
So can we talk about the rest of it? What did Delana look like? Come on.
Delana... And I've been saying this forever, and everybody thinks I'm paranoid and a conspiracy freak. Delana looked like Storm. In that, for the first time that I can remember, suddenly her hair was all straight. It wasn't dreadlocky.
She took the dreadlocks out?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it was still multicolored, but imagine if you just took Storm's hair and ironed it and then made it stripy. I'm not saying it was real hair. I don't know what's real and what's not. But, I mean, they weren't... It didn't look like she had crap woven into it. It looked like real hair that had just been striped.
Hmm.
So...
Have you seen that pop video of her called, like, All the Planets? Or
yeah. 12?
Good yeah. God. That yeah. is the worst thing
it's
I've
terrible.
Ever seen.
It's terrible.
So did her hair kind of look like that? Because I noticed there it didn't have dreadlocks.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it looked
stripes.
More natural, but very drastically colored. And then she had this horrible, tight leather outfit on that did not flatter her at all. I find her a repellent woman physically and just sort of sexually. She has no vibe to me at all, none. She's the vibe of a walnut. This outfit did her no favors at all. It was like a bad Zaire.
How did the crowd like her?
The crowd, well... How should we approach? And I know that I'm not going to fit this all in today because we got more from Tim Riley, we have Dick Dale, we have probably a little bit from Peter Carlin. I know I'm going to end up talking more about this tomorrow too. So let me get this call here. We have Patty who wants to ask a question, and then Sarah, if you want to kind of ask me whatever your questions are, and I have notes that I can get to as well. So we'll probably take both. both today and then a segment tomorrow, because tomorrow's when it's going to air. Mm-hmm. So it'll be probably today and tomorrow.
It'll be at Dante's. That'll be cool for you to watch it after you've seen it taped.
It's cool. I mean, I'll be curious to see what they cut out and what they don't. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Patty, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, Sarah. I was just curious, was it filmed at actually a venue or a soundstage that looked like a venue?
It is a soundstage, and it's right next to the Dancing with the Stars stage. Because at one point, Lucas does a little spastic dance, like he always does. And Dave Navarro's like, dude, if this doesn't work out for you, next door they're filming a show that you'd be perfect for. And it's Dancing with the Stars. No, it is a soundstage. It's Studio 72. For those who are interested in stalking, Stage 72 is where they film that. And I gotta tell you, I pointed this out to Lara, and I gotta go home and watch an episode of Rockstar to see if this is noticeable when you are watching the show. But the Rockstar Supernova stage, I swear to you, is made up of leftover things from Survivor. And here's what I mean by that. No, and I mean that seriously.
Does it have the logo on it?
No. Well, two things. When you're walking into the Rockstar Supernova set, you pass an open, like, storage warehouse. And it's weird, actually. You look inside, and you see a bunch of props from various seasons of Survivor, and you realize, because Survivor has, like, the finale for Survivor doesn't take place on the island or whatever. If you watch Survivor at all, which I have watched a couple seasons of Survivor, and I'll probably watch this season, the finale takes place at a stage, at a studio. It doesn't take place wherever they're living. The finale takes place at a stage. And so you see all of these signs from past seasons of Survivor. That is one thing. B, they're both Mark Burnett shows. C, and again, I got to go back and see if you can see this on the television show. The stage, there's a wall on either side of you and then a backdrop wall behind Nate Morton, behind the house band. Mm-hmm. And it is all very clearly meant to look like, how do I put this? Like
tribal?
Tribal, but like clay, like adobe sort of, you know what I mean? Like it's sort of carved out of rock, like Indiana Jones kind of stuff. And actually directly above Nate Morton, directly above the house band, is a huge glowing like tiki face carved out of the rock with glowing eyes. And if you look, there are broken off spear points all over it. I mean,
you can see the tiki. I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen that backdrop before.
It's a big tiki guy, and there are broken off, like, pseudo spears thrown into the wall everywhere, and then the sides are very, like, it's all like Aztec tribal carvings. It is so obviously, and there's no reason for that, if you think about it. What does it have to do with Rockstar Supernova? Nothing. They're both Mark Burnett shows, and that is leftover decoration from Survivor. I would bet you my bottom dollar on that.
Well, way to save a buck.
Yeah, so it's true. So there you go, Patty.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so, well, what do you want to know about, Sarah? I mean, just what do you want to know about the taping? Because I got all kinds of notes, and we won't be able to get to all of it today, but
I just want to know if people, I don't know if anyone looked better or worse than you thought they would. The stage presence, like, who really grabbed you, who didn't?
Everybody's really tiny, first of all. I mean, I know, blah, 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 the camera is 15 pounds, all those cliches, but it's true, man, because, like,
Toby looks like he's a pretty beefy guy.
He is not. He's very thin in person. They all are. And even the Supernova guys are very, God, boy, Dave Navarro is a midget. He's a little midget Satan, is what he is. Like, it really, he looks like he's, you know, he looks like Pan. You know what I mean? Like, he ought to have goat legs and be playing a flute. He's so tiny, and he's got those big sideburns, and he's just got the jet black eyes and the hair, and it's just, they're all just so weird looking. Tommy Lee is all tall and lanky, and the chick's just, boy, man, and it's like Lara, I mean, you could just see her eyes glazing over the minute Tommy Lee walked out, because that's the other thing. It's such a small room, and again, we were right in front of the stage, like where Storm did her stage dive and landed in the crowd.
So did you see any cameras? You think we'll be able to see you?
I think you will, actually, and I'll tell you where in just a moment. But, you know, where Storm did her stage dive, we were right there off to the left, just a few feet. So, but the thing is, the floor area is very small. So the distance from the stage to the back of the room is very small. And so we were very close to both the stage and to the Supernova guys. And, you know, and when Tommy Lee came out, yeah, the chicks just, man, chicks just love that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of know that. And then also Toby, because Toby, he performs his first song. And he's wearing these, like, aviator sunglasses. And then at one point, he sort of, like, takes them off. And he's just like, and Laura, like, actually, she did this. And I know you can't see this in the right, I have to explain it. She did this thing where she sort of, like, looks over at me and, like, crosses her hands over her heart and does, like, a, aw. Because he's just such a good-looking guy. And he's got, like, these glittery blue eyes and whatever. And he totally has presence that carries from, like, off the stage. Whereas, like, Magny does not, man, I got to tell you, he seems like a good guy, good singer, so boring. Just so little stage presence. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know anything that y'all don't know, but I think he'll be the next to go. Because they all have so much presence.
Well, they're all
going.
I
hate to say it, even Delana. But I mean, well, because that's, but see, that's the thing. Brooke Burke was explaining this. When we were at the table, she was explaining this. That, so, all four of them perform on Tuesday. Apparently, though, Wednesday is only a one-hour finale. And from the way Brooke Burke described it, unless she just doesn't know what she's talking about, the way she described it is they're going to kick one person off, like, at the beginning of the show, and then the other three, you know, do, you know, compete, and then at the end they kick two of them off.
Hmm.
In other words, they pack both of those shows into 1 hour, basically. Which makes me wonder, why are they even doing a Tuesday
yeah.
show? It doesn't make any sense at all. It makes no sense. So apparently they're going to, and she did, we got to see her tape, and it did answer one of our big questions about the show. At the end, we got to see her tape the whole, oh, God, how did she say?
They
would feign the commercial breaks, and they would play the rejoin music, and she was reading off this teleprompter in the back of the room where the letters were like 50 feet high. She must be blind or dumb or both, because at the back of the back of the room, there's a huge teleprompter, and she said, well, we're only a few minutes into the voting, and already the numbers are going crazy. Here's the initial ranking for our four remaining rockers. Is your favorite leading the Supernova pack? If not, it's up to you to change the results. And, of course, like, there's no voting. There's no, although this may have answered one of our other questions. Guess what I'm holding in my hands?
Your wristband that you still have on?
I still have my Supernova wristband on. We're going to stick it. We have, like, this... We have a wall at home where we hang a bunch of our travel crap, and we're going to stick our wristbands up there. But I have...
What's that?
It's a paper ballot, which I, by the way, neglected to fill out and turn in, because who cares at this point.
Oh, but, you ripped it.
I know. But it's a ballot they gave us, and it's where the paper ballot, where you can vote on the performers, and you're supposed to drop it in a box on the way out. And so we think this is from where they get the initial vote. Because even with technology the way it is, you got to figure, if that show airs on the East Coast... That's only like 5 or 4 minutes for them to tally the votes, get the Chiron ready, whatever. If that initial tally at the end of the Tuesday show is actually representing electronic voting, that's not a lot of time for them to slap that together. So everybody who left the Rockstar taping got handed a paper ballot, and we think that this, because realize they don't give you any numbers. They only give you a ranking
mm-hmm.
and maybe a percentage. We think that this paper ballot that the studio audience fills out is where they get the initial Tuesday night, numbers from. That's our suspicion. So that's totally our suspicion of how that works. Let's see.
So you know who is in the initial bottom three then?
I don't because again, they hand these to you as you leave.
Okay.
And then I think that they tally that up, and that's what they put on the screen on Tuesday night. They later on, they tally up the studio audience's paper ballots, and that's what the initial tally is on Tuesday.
That's true, because they never do say that it's the first telephone votes are in. They just say the first votes have been counted.
And I think the first votes are studio audience votes.
Okay, so real quick, what about Lucas? Was he as wonderful?
He was really good. Okay. I'm saying it right now. I think that he'll win. I would not rule Toby out. It's not going to be Delana. It's not going to be Magny. Because, A, Magny has no charisma. Again, great guy, great voice. So boring. And Tommy Lee nailed it. Magny sang his original song again. And Tommy Lee's just like, dude, he's like, I've heard the song 3 times. I can't remember the hook. I can't remember the chorus. And everybody booed, but it's true. I can't think of what Magny's original song is. Can you?
No, but I can think of Toby's right now.
I can think
and
of Toby's and Delana's even.
I can't think of Delana's. It's just tainted by that Take Me to All Planets song.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember Lucas's, which is the You Make My Head Spin, and Toby's is the, you know, that thing. I couldn't sing Magny's original if he put a gun to my head. So he's gone. I think Delana's gone because they made a very telling comment, and Lara noted this.
Ooh.
So, see, this is, I'm giving you all the inside dope. And we got a break here in a minute. We'll talk to Dick Dale for a few. We got Tim Riley coming up. We may or may not have Peter Carlin, simply because we haven't heard from him yet. So I'll tell you what. If we have Peter Carlin, well, that's what we'll do, and we'll do that. If Peter Carlin, if we end up not hooking up with Peter Carlin today, I'll talk more about this. If not, we might do it tomorrow. If not, I'll recap. We'll talk more about this tomorrow anyway, because I got a lot of notes to review.
Telling comment.
But they made a very telling comment about Delana. So Delana, and it pains me to say this, her performance was pretty good. It was really, she sang two songs. Everybody sang their original. You know, for the third time. And on the one hand, it's like, you don't want to hear those originals again. On the other hand, it does let you know what you really think of them, because it takes a couple times to really decide about a song. Her original sucks. But she opened with, everybody did a cover and an original. She did, Roxanne. And I gotta tell you, man, her version of Roxanne was really good. Probably the best thing she's done this season. Delana's version of Roxanne, and I leaned forward to Lara and I said, you know, I said, I have to say that I don't hate this. She has the other three guys sing behind her. And I also have to say, and I don't think I'm projecting, I also have to say that her performance of it is very Storm-like. Very Storm-like. And you'll know what I mean when you say it. It's just the initial. She sings the first couple verses a cappella. And it's very stripped down. She doesn't do a lot of her. It's very, it sounds a lot like, if you imagine Storm doing it. Mm-hmm. The other three guys come out, whatever. And then she does her original. And she totally, that injury is so fake, by the way. There is no way that she is injured. Because she not only jumps off the stage, goes through the crowd, she walks all the way up, back past the cameras, up into these bleachers that are in the back where the VIPs are that you never see on camera. I mean, works the entire circumference of the room and then back onto the stage. Just because of that, they're going to keep her on the show. They will keep her on past. She will not be the first voted off because they were such big fans of the way she worked the room. But here's why she's not going to win. So Delana gives a great performance of Roxanne. And then her song sucks. Her original song is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And the way she sings it, she was all back to the quavering, like,
And you know what I found out from looking at a bunch of her stuff online? I guess the songs that she used for the song clinic, she already wrote.
Yeah.
One of them's one of her older songs.
Yeah.
How messed up is that?
She also made a comment on stage that indicated that she did not write that Super Soul song herself.
Really?
She's like, this is from my partner back in Holland who co-wrote this. Here we go. You know, and so, but.
All right, so what's the telling comment?
So they make when they're doing the recap, they're like, awesome, you know, Roxanne, woo, you know, whatever. And then, I think it was Gilby actually who made this comment after Lana. He said, you know what, Delana? He said, you've been great on this show, and we'll always remember your voice. Well, that sounds like they're already planning on not keeping her around.
Yeah.
He said, we will always remember that voice, Delana.
And I wonder if that gets cut.
I don't know if that's a slip. Well, I'll be curious to see. But I don't know if that's a slip or a mistake or whatever. But he made some comment about, we'll always remember that voice. And Lara Lee never, she's like, we'll always remember that voice. She's totally not going to win. So that's more indication that it's Lucas. We should break here. We'll come back, have a few minutes with Dick Dale, surf guitar legend. We will have Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. And then either more Rockstar Supernova recap from the taping that I was at last night, or Peter Carlin, one of the two. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Don't go anywhere. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Let me do a little,
Scotty J, this is David Katz speaking. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please, summon him to the studio.
Hello, beam us up, Scotty.
Patty.
End of message.
All right, how you doing, my friend?
Really good.
All right, this is Peter Carlin on the line here.
Yes, it is.
Well done. Dick Dale, what's
Dick
the word?
Dick Dale had three numbers, called them all, and cannot reach him anywhere. I even called his ranch.
All right. Really?
He has a ranch.
All right. Do we know, I plead ignorance on this, I feel like an idiot, because I'm not even sure. I thought the show was tonight, but it might actually be tomorrow. You know, and I plead ignorance on that, I just don't know. So, I'll tell you what, if we get a chance to squeeze him on before the end of the show, great. If not, you know, even with 4 hours, we're just not getting to everything. So it's crazy. Am I to understand, by the way, Scotty J, yep, that
Dick Dale is tomorrow night.
It is tomorrow.
Oh, that's sweet.
You know what? Maybe we can do it tomorrow.
Excellent.
If you reach him, ask him if we can do it tomorrow. Tell him we'll make sure to fit him in.
I will do
that. Am I to understand that there are some new sounders?
There is, actually.
Where are those?
Are
those
in the Monday file? Monday, yes.
Is that the... Good God, man. There's like 50 new, there's 50...
Okay. They're all just like one-liners like you.
Well,
like
let's welcome now the...
What I'm trying to keep it is Trill.
All right, let's welcome now Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Hello, sir, how are you?
I'm okay, how are you?
Well, you know...
What I'm trying to keep it is Trill.
There you go. I'm looking here, I just have to tell you this, that our intern, Scotty J, who really is an audio production machine, he has actually created an entire folder on the computer titled Peter Carlin Voice.
Weird.
And really, there are like, I don't even know what I don't even know what most of these are. Let me just,
let's make a show about incompetent plumbers.
I think Scotty's got a new hobby. And that hobby, I don't even know what most of these you're referring to.
Imagine a young Rick Emerson sitting there having these kind of primal moments.
I don't even really know what I'm supposed to be using these sounders for.
No, let's play another one.
It's fine. Let's find one more. Okay, that is hilarious, by the way.
Wow.
I'm going to put that in the file. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put that right in the file next to the...
Thank you.
Oh.
Right next to Connie Chung. I'm going to loop that, and I'm just going to create some sort of a low drone out of that.
Uh-huh.
And just our final observation is...
Yo, boy.
All right, there you go.
Where did that come from?
You know, you must have said all of these things at some point, but I really honestly would be lying if I said I knew where.
I got to stop doing this radio. there's another one right there.
You and me both, my friend.
Right. How about this one? How about factory trained and factory certified?
There you go. Peter Carlin, how's life, my brother?
Okay.
Okay, then.
I'm fine.
Are you really, or is that just sort of an I'm fine that you're saying to make the question go away?
Yeah, mostly that.
Okay. Let me just tell you this. I watched Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Oh, where'd you get that?
Thank you, by the way. A person similar to but legally distinct from you. First of all, it's very disconcerting and weird, and I mean, not bad, just strange to watch because I'm such a fan of The West Wing and then such a fan of Sports Night to watch a show that really is a perfect hybrid of the two.
Weird.
And it's just, it was really good and so much better than so much of what is on television. Mm-hmm. Although I've been seeing the ads for it, and I saw I was in the hotel last night, and I was watching I saw the ad for, you know, the stars are about to collide, Studio 60, and it's Matthew Perry. And the problem is that they're pitching the whole thing, as they always do, like idiots. They're pitching it entirely wrong into the wrong people. They're pitching it as a romantic comedy.
Mm.
Which is exactly...
What did you want him to pitch it?
As a show about television, which to me is a lot more interesting. Here's why this is bothersome to me. Because it's exactly the same thing they did with Sports Night, where they pitched Sports Night as a show about sports. Which, of course, it wasn't. And they pitched it to sports fans who tuned in. And then there was a lot of jokes about Noel Coward. And, you know, it didn't really do the show any favors.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope it's not going to be another Aaron Sorkin experience where I invest a lot of emotion in the show and then they cruelly yank it away from me.
Yeah, after 8 years. How long did West Wing run?
I'm talking more about Sports Night.
Oh, so in other words, the 8-year run of West Wing didn't quite take the bad taste of Sports Night out of your mouth?
It really didn't. I'll be bitter about the Sports Night thing forever. And the last 3 seasons of West Wing were sort of pointless anyway, because everything after Sorkin left, it was just sort of like... After Sorkin left, it was like a soda that had been left at room temperature open for like a day, where it was sort of sweet, but there was really no... There was no effervescence to it.
Yeah.
All right,
see where you're coming from.
You seem a bit persnickety today. Have I called it a bad time?
Oh, I have a little head cold, so I'm having a really hard time keeping my eyes open.
You know, Sarah's having that problem, too, and so is our morning board.
I'm having the allergies with the itchy eyes and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you talked to me a couple weeks ago, but I had the full-on Wolfman Jack voice, and it was the worst thing on earth. I felt as though my head was packed with gelatin.
Yeah.
So, well, I won't keep you then. I'll just ask you a couple brief questions. First of all, I only ask this because I know that you wrote a column about it, and we were obsessed with it up until it happened, which was Katie Couric's debut.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I mean... Here's my thoughts on Katie Couric, and tell us what you think about this as an esteemed chronicler of all things on the tube. It's not that she was bad as such. It's just that Katie Couric and what she did, the nightly network news has just become a sort of appendix, you know, to the American news gathering body. Would you agree with that?
To a great extent, yeah, sure.
That has just become a thing. That is like in a world of you know, the internet and the CNN or whatever. It's like, why do I need to make an appointment to watch Katie Couric do her news?
Yeah, that's the thing. So they have to become much more feature driven and much more, you know. Anyway, that's what they're trying to do. And yet, it's like everyone jumps all. I mean, I don't know. I saw the first episode or the first show that she did, and I thought, you know, whatever. But whenever I watch news, the network news stuff, the only thing I can think is that, you know what, I'm not in this demo. You know, this doesn't interest me.
Well, and I wonder who the demo. I mean, is it old people? Is it shut-ins? I mean, who is the demo for nightly network news at this
old
point?
Old people and young people who think like old people.
And they're never going to get those young people, though, because they're all watching Fox. I mean, that's the thing. Young people who think like old people wouldn't watch the CBS Evening News if you put a gun to their kneecaps, because they believe that it is it's an outlet for, you know, the liberal, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that thing is, the mainstream liberal press. So it's just got to be... You know, like my in-laws. I mean, that's got to be who they're targeting.
Mm.
But, you know, I just, it does puzzle me that they view that as being worth $14 million.
Well, yeah. No, I know. And her ratings have been kind of tumbling, but I think you would expect that given the amount of publicity that surrounded that first episode, her premiere, her debut.
I view that Katie Couric news as being sort of like snakes on a plane. Lots of buzz, lots of build up, one big day, and then just a cratering after that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there any point in watching, and even though it's already halfway done, is there any point in watching this, the Path to 9/11 show that everybody's talking about?
No, absolutely not.
All right.
No, it's really bad. It's really dull, and which is sort of strange. I think they should have just done a much shorter or much more reined in version of it.
This is, and by the way, this is why we value you, Peter, not just because you're a great person, but because that, and because you have columns such as today's in which you say things like, Men in Trees is a really bad show that you almost certainly don't want to watch. and then that's followed by the premiere of Till Death, for which there are billboards all over Los Angeles, everywhere. A pair of sitcoms and Happy Hour, a pair of new sitcoms in Fox that illustrate exactly how unfunny comedy can be.
That's blurb central, isn't it?
I mean, it really is.
What were you doing in L.A.?
I was there to see a taping of the show Rockstar Supernova, which up until last week our good friend Storm Large was participating on.
Oh.
She was competing. Did very well, but was eliminated last week, which is probably the best for all concerned in some ways, because we've decided that kind of winning the chance to sing with a guy who used to be a third tier guitarist for Guns N' Roses is a bit of a booby prize, no matter how one tries to frame it.
Well, it seemed to me, I saw that episode last week when she did her original song, which had them all so terribly excited.
Yeah.
Was in fact the best original song anyone had performed.
Yeah.
As one of them pointed out, maybe it was T. Lee who pointed that out.
Yes.
But then they go from that, like from acknowledging that like she actually brings great songs into the mix.
Yeah.
And she's a really good performer. And they go from that to like, see you later.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand the thought process.
It's moments like that, and we've been following that show for like 15 weeks here, and the thing that offended us about that show, if you want to call it that, is the thing that filled me with moral indignation.
Yeah.
Is that, like, I know that it's only television and reality TV at that, and I know that the liver-spotted hands of Mark Burnett are everywhere, really guiding all the pieces. But my whole thing is, you know what it is?
No, I don't.
Here's what it is, Peter Carlin. It's like when your husband comes home, not that I would know about this, but let's say, you know, your husband comes home and he reeks of strange perfume and he's got like a pair of panties shoved into his pocket. And it's like, you know, what were you doing? And he just kind of goes, and just like kind of goes into the den. And it's like, at least give me a good lie. You know what I mean? Like, at least say that, you know, there was like a Swedish bikini team in town and they drugged you and took you to the hotel and took advantage of you. You know, at least come up with something good. Don't just give me some lame non-story, which is kind of what they did on Rockstar, where they didn't even try to hide the machinations, the cogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so obvious that you could see the hands moving all the pieces around. And if television's going to lie to me, that's fine. But I want it to be a well-constructed, somewhat convincing lie. You know what I mean? Not some sort of Karl Rove-esque lie that doesn't even pass the most cursory of examinations.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, there it is.
All right.
Yeah, I think you hit the. Yeah, I think you hit the. Make a dittos, Rick.
Okay, my friend, I'm going to let you go hunt down some, except that you're not going to be able to find any cold medication, by the way.
Really?
Final thought. Because when I had this same thing that you have 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
just going around the office, I went to the store to try to buy Sudafed. And I was told that now, not only can you, it's the, not only that thing where you have to go to the, you know, behind the counter, it is now illegal to buy Sudafed in Oregon without a prescription. So, there you
really?
Go. Yeah, the only kind they will sell you is that kind Sudafed PE, which, as the New York Times revealed about a month ago, does nothing. It's full of essentially inert ingredients.
Really?
So, the Sudafed that contains pseudoephedrine, whatever it is now illegal, the woman at Safeway informed me, to buy anything, like Actifed, Sudafed, anything that is pseudoephedrine, the stuff that works. They can now not sell it to you without a prescription under penalty of imprisonment. So, you're government at work, my friend.
So, hachu.
So, there you go. Well, recover, recuperate. We will talk to you sometime next week. You can read Peter Carlin in print in the Oregonian, online at the at OregonLive.com, and get well, my friend.
Okay, I'm not that bad off. I'm just cranky.
I'm picking up on that. I believe I have cracked your code.
You cracked. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you later.
All right, there you go. Peter Carlin, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sure that really helped the mood.
Jesus, God. Look at that guy. All right, there you go. Well, Peter Carlin. Well, you know
you
what?
You and Peter are very similar. Sometimes you get cranky like him.
You know what? But here's the thing. And people complain about Peter Carlin. They do, as I'm sure he knows. I'm sure he gets mail from people who don't care for him. But you know what?
I like him.
I like Peter Carlin. And you know what? The fact that he hates everything and still comes on the show is a great endorsement of, you know, that somebody likes what we're doing. So, all right.
What I'm trying to keep it is Trill.
I love that. That's so great.
Will you put one more time?
What I'm trying to keep it is Trill.
I'm going to merge that somehow with the Connie Chung thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here's the deal. We got a break, right?
Well, we have one more break.
Well, let's break now.
Okay.
We'll come back. I probably won't get a lot of Rockstar Supernova stuff done. But we'll talk a little bit of that. We'll do some Tim Riley. We'll go to the city desk, get some news from Tim Riley. Don't forget, coming up at 3:06, we got Likas, Don and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there. The saddest part of the broadcast, and then the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up tomorrow, I think we're going to try to reschedule that Dick Dale interview for tomorrow. Dennis Pitsenbarger tomorrow as well. I'll finish the second half. I haven't even talked about my hotel room. You don't want to know from a hotel?
The fancy one or the hostel?
The hostel in Inglewood. Jesus Christ. That place was just, it's just beyond describing. No, the fancy one in downtown L.A. And one of those places where you really should have been there. I was telling Laura this, that there was this swank party that we were invited to, and we were there for like 10 seconds, and I was just, I don't belong here. This is me. You want to know me in a nutshell? And I'll talk more about this tomorrow. Here's me in a nutshell. We're at this hotel, and there's this party on the roof of the hotel. And, you know, in downtown, it's just a whole nother world. It really is like you'd stepped into Less Than Zero. You kept expecting to see, like, Robert Downey Jr., like, dancing and, like, doing blow off in a corner somewhere. And there's a swimming pool that's all blue and lit up.
I saw that. So that was on the rooftop?
On the rooftop.
That is so cool.
And, of course, you can see over to the rooftops of all the other hotels, and you're surrounded by these illuminated skyscrapers and, like, the Citibank building, which is famous. And it just, you feel like, I mean, it's not like I'm a playa or something, but I'm so trashy that it takes so little to make me feel like I've stepped into a glamour situation. But we're up there for like 10 seconds, and we had gone to Tommy's earlier in the evening, and we're on this rooftop in L.A., this swimming pool that's all blue and illuminated, and there's like guys floating around serving champagne and like hot girls, and we're literally on the top of a skyscraper, surrounded by other skyscrapers, in this sort of like whatever, this sort of party. And literally, for like 2 minutes, I'm like, I'm going to go back to the bedroom. Those cheese fries are getting cold. I went back to the hotel room, and I had cheese fries.
So sad.
It really is. And so Laura later, she's like, so would you have a better time if somebody else was here with you? Because she felt all bad. And I'm like, no, baby. And no, I had to explain this to her. I'm like, no, baby. You'd have a better time if somebody else was here. And what I told her, and this is true, Sarah, is that really, if I at that moment could magically have switched places with you, if you had been there with Laura, you guys would have had a fantastic time.
Oh, yeah, I'm so jealous.
I really am the boring element in all of those things.
You are,
as
and
you
I,
know.
I bring you to parties and stuff, but it's not like you're boring. You just talk better on a microphone than you do to real humans.
Well, you know what it's like Storm said about Ellen. I, you know, and Tim and I, we've all talked about this, that I function well in one setting. This one right here. Anywhere else, I'm Michigan J. Frog. You know what I mean? You know, where it's like I'm all singing and dancing, and then somebody, here's Rick Emerson, he's really funny. And then I'm just, and I'm just a frog sitting there doing nothing.
Oh, poor Laura.
Yeah.
Like, she's all excited, and then she thinks it's her fault.
No, and she, I, but she understands. She's
so
been with
left
me
her
long
up
enough.
There by
no,
herself?
No, no, no. We went back and ate cheese fries together.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I hate my life. Let's go to Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth.
And now,
we'll get to Kristen here in a second.
Ministry of Truth. This is Tim Riley.
Culinary carelessness causes concern in the Couve. Investigators say homeless people cooking started a large fire Sunday night in a hillside That's near fantastic. State Route 14 and Grand Avenue, leaving a bad taste in everyone's mouth. Flames threatened several homes in the nearby apartment complexes. Residents say they knew the area is trouble. We've seen as many as 10 to 12 people who call this backwoods kitchen home on a regular basis, said one neighbor. How about a hick watch?
How about a hick watch?
Copenhagen makes me feel so good.
Bum, 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 bum.
Copenhagen,
real awesome.
Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house.
Hey,
Copenhagen
makes me feel so good.
An argument over the outcome of the legal cockfighting ring in Fort Bend County erupted into gunfire earlier this week, leaving one man dead, another seriously injured. More than 100 spectators were at the match when the assailant, known only as Rudy, became irate and pulled out a firearm. He shot at the victims as they ran toward a parked car. A fellow named Morales was shot in the back, pronounced dead at the scene. Bullets struck another man in the leg and in the abdomen. Witnesses say the gunman took off in a Black Leaf model Chevrolet Silverado pickup. Although cockfighting is illegal in Texas, Houston SPCA officials say it remains a major concern with matches held in rural areas. It's very Texan. Cockfighting is very common. It's always been around. Participating in a cockfight is a felony in Texas and most other states. It can result in up to 2 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. Matches are still allowed in Louisiana and New Mexico.
See, however. What kind of a state, really? If that is one of the bellwethers. That's a canary in the coal mine. If you live in a state where cockfighting is still defended, something that everybody really ought to be taking part in, you're living in a bad place, and you should move away. That's, I mean, there really is just no... There's really no better description of a bad place to live. There's your hick watch.
Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. Copenhagen makes me feel so good.
No details have come across in the tragic death of Anna Nicole's son, Daniel. He's only 20 years old. This happened in the Bahamas early yesterday morning. Smith found her son in her hospital room around 9 o'clock in the morning, thinking he was asleep. She tried to wake him up. He didn't respond. Immediately, she called for help.
Wait, she found him where?
In a hospital room. In her hospital room.
What was she doing
she
in
was
the hospital?
She had a baby.
She was
really?
Giving birth to a baby, yep.
Nobody tells me anything.
They were unable to revive 20-year-old Daniel.
Well, that's an overdose.
Nicole had just given birth 3 days earlier in the same hospital to a baby daughter. According to the local newspaper, they suggested the cause of death was a massive heart attack.
Yeah.
Neither doctors or the local coroner can confirm that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sarah totally nailed it. Listen to this email from Todd. Why have not you or Sarah mentioned Anna Nicole's son dying? You're dropping the ball. Look, 4 hour show, we still didn't get to everything today.
That just really sucks. I watched your reality show, and, you know, that kid was troubled to begin with.
Oh, but that's the thing, is like, you're hosed from the get go if you're Anna Nicole Smith's kid. It's like, what, you know, yeah, you got nothing. So, all right, there you go. Thank you, Tim. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Kristen from accounting, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey, sister.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry. And I apologize in advance, by the way. I know that Storm is gone from the show, but, you know, we're going to follow Rockstar to the bitter end. I apologize for not getting a whole description.
You and me both, brother.
We'll do the second half tomorrow, because tomorrow is when the episode that I saw taped airs. So.
Absolutely.
What's up with you?
Well, but I was just going to share in your rant about flying and whatnot, because, you know, I can sympathize because, I mean, it's bad enough going down to L.A., which is like an hour and a half. But, you know, I go back east to visit my folks at least twice a year. flying into Boston or flying into Providence, you know, it's like a five-hour flight, dude. Tell me I can't have my contact lens solution or
that's the other thing.
Water.
They threw out her contact lens solution, and it's
just wrong.
I know that I've said this hundreds of times today, but I mean, but we went through, and it's... We were running late. We knew that it was our chance we took because we did not want to risk having to get our luggage from checkout because I had to make it here in time for the show. We left L.A. That moment when they had put all of our stuff in a tub and when we just saw them dumping it in the trash.
That's just wrong.
I mean,
I was already considering, you know, I've been considering moving back east just to be closer to my family.
Right.
And just the thought of having to get on a plane just twice a year even, it just is enough to make me not want to do it anymore.
Well, that's what Sarah said. I mean, we were talking before the show about this. I was telling her, yeah, they put all our toothpaste in. And it sounds dumb. You know, yeah, it's a $3 tube of toothpaste. But it is one of your personal toiletry items. Yeah. It is that they are taking from you and throwing into the trash. And it just, people can think it's stupid or petty, but it just feels like such a violation for no good goddamn reason.
And you know what it makes me think of? And I know it's probably un-American to think this way, but it makes me think that the terrorists have won.
Oh, no, I'm with you. That's very American.
You know, our freedom's gone.
No, yeah.
We take a damn tub of toothpaste on a plane with us, that there's something wrong.
No, that is very American to think that. Because here's the thing, and I got into some big argument the other day with a guy like this, and it was that he was doing the stupid distinction. Well, it's a private organization, but the thing is, it's a private company that is regulated and monitored by the government, controlled by the government. And you know what? I'll tell you what. You go make a ruckus at the airport, and you see who comes to arrest you. Those aren't private security forces that come to arrest you. That's the man.
Get off my damn lawn.
Yeah, totally. That is the government that comes to arrest you if you make a ruckus. So the idea that it's somehow just capitalism at work is wrong and a little bit of propaganda in its own self.
Yes.
As a great man once said, part of being an American and inherent in the idea of being an American is the right to be left alone.
Yeah.
And to just not have your crap rooted through. And again, as I've said many times today, it's just compounded by the fact that it's for no reason. None at all.
You know it's not doing any good.
It is just...
If they really want to get a plane down, they're going to get a plane down.
It's just that, as George Carlin once observed, it is just there to remind you that they can screw with you.
Sarah, you have to move to New York, and then I'll be in Boston with your sister, and we'll just travel up and down the East Coast.
That sounds good. We just take the Feng Hua back and forth.
Woohoo!
I got to tell you, man, before we even got to the airport on whatever Saturday morning, I told Laura, it's like, it was the worst it's ever been because we were driving to the airport, and normally I forget how bad it is until I get there. But, man, as we were getting on whatever it is, the 205, I was just like, I can already feel the bitterness building. And it's like all weekend, how bad is it? All weekend I was just dreading the trip back to the airport because I was going to have to be searched by the puny brains again.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it just ruins your whole trip.
I'm with you. All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow about the rock star.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there with bells on.
All right, there you go. Kristen from accounting. All right.
A lot of people I've been talking to don't want to watch Rockstar anymore, but I'm like, come on, you've got to watch the last episode.
You know, I'm so invested. It's like, how can... Because we weren't just invested in Storm. We were invested for instance, Delana losing or whoever, you know? So it would be ridiculous at this point not to watch all the way to the end. Let's welcome now...
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, Mailman Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Are you going to be there tomorrow night, Chris?
You know, I'm not positive. I'm going to be there one of the nights, either tomorrow night or... And I'm just not sure which.
All right, fine. Look how quickly everyone fades away.
It's a baby situation.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got the children. All right. Well, all right. Where are we at, brother? What do we got?
Oh, you got the Clone Watch. You got the Hank Watch, Gary Baumgarten, Rockstar, and Clyde Lewis. But we had no Dick Dale and no Corpse Watch.
We did have a Corpse Watch. The extra organs. We had the...
Was it played as a Corpse Watch?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that it was. It was certainly labeled as a Corpse Watch. Yeah, we had the Corpse Watch.
Okay, so no Dick Dale.
I don't feel that should be my fault.
Oh, stop. You're always... Every day, it's
Scotty
like a different excuse.
Scotty notes on the screen right now. Could not reach Dick Dale. Scotty, please be entering the studio.
That's fine.
Scotty, if you can just sort of...
Jay, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to Jack Squad!
All right, are you with me on this?
Okay, I'm not... I'm an advocate of seeing him do push-ups, right? But in a fair manner. And I think over the last couple of days, including Friday, he's been getting an unfair shake.
No, not at all, because he didn't get any from Friday.
Okay, that's...
That was a wash.
Well, I think he almost should have got some removed just for the sheer fact
God, no.
that...
That's what I'm saying.
No.
That's a right-thinking individual.
Intern, don't speak out of turn.
Okay,
no.
As far as the Dick Dale thing...
I made a good faith effort.
We totally tried to call him.
Three different numbers.
No, you know what?
Ranch. We called his ranch.
Three different numbers.
That's fine. But that's not going to mean that you get three taken away. We'll just make it a wash again.
This is what lawyers would call a force majeure. This is an unforeseen
act of
God.
Don't put it on the list if you're not confident.
I mean, if he had 20 push-ups, that'd be great. But you're looking at like 50. You're staring in the eye of 50.
That's...
I'm willing to have it be a wash.
I believe I should. Okay. Okay. How many would I normally get taken off? Three?
Yeah, so
I'd settle for two.
No, I'd settle for even. None. I'd settle for not adding another
but
one and instead
Friday,
keeping them at the
any.
Scotty, I'm talking to Rick.
Okay, go ahead.
That yeah. I would settle for keeping them the same level they are. Because every day it's some kind of excuse and I always buckle down, so I'm not adding another one to you. You're reading something. You're not even listening.
I'm just reading this email. Rick, I just heard the sad news that your or Sarah's child has died. Sorry. What the hell does that mean?
Probably thinking of Anna Nicole.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Why would I have a 20-year-old child?
Seriously.
She started really early.
It's the flux capacitor at work.
That's a little creepy. Now I'm going to call and check on my dog.
You must have missed the Anna
Okay, yeah,
part.
Seriously. I was going to say I got to check on my poodle now. All right, thanks for freaking us out, whoever you are, bastard. All right, well, okay, so we'll deduct one. Come on!
I like how he came back to that when you said no
Chris,
earlier. That was great.
Arbiter?
No, you know what? We'll discuss this tomorrow. Don't
Chris?
Pull everybody. We'll talk
I'm
about it after the
stenographer.
Show.
I'm a stenographer. Like I say, my name is Paul, and this is me, y'all.
Sons of bitch.
Well, I'd say I'll keep it at zero. Like, you don't go up, you don't go down.
None of you have my back when it counts.
Scotty does.
As Cool Hand Luke would say, where are you now?
And that's not, it's just that I think...
You know, I'm glad that your gift got lost at LAX. I'm glad!
I like his push-ups, but I think...
I also had a gift for Aaron. I'm sad that I lost that, but not yours! Sons of bitches.
Sorry, you can work up, burn off some of that anger tomorrow at Dante's. In front of everybody.
All right.
So I should have had him do some at the Supernova taping.
All right.
Oh, that would have been
you
great.
You should have called me. You should have called my phone. Get on the floor now. All right, thank you, Chris.
All right, talk to you. So we're staying at 44?
Yeah, sure.
All right, talk to you in the morning.
There you go, thank you. All right, coming up tomorrow, Dennis Pitzenbarger, Dick Dale, rock star recap of the taping. We're going to thank Gary Baumgart and Jim Roop and Ed McCarthy today. Also, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Rick Emerson Show produced today. And every day, the little show, Levine, talented Sarah Stone for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Scotty J, more than an intern. Dave Zinn manages the East Office for the Rick Emerson Show. And Tim Riley in the news room. As always, don't let the bastards grind it down. See y'all tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Like us up in about 30 seconds. Don't go anywhere.